Welcome, dear listener, to the Same Old Wombles podcast, the only AFC Wimbledon podcast that features people all in their late 40s, early 50s. I'm not saying it's a good thing. I'm just saying, you know, we're looking for an angle. Anyhow, welcome as we come to the last game of the season. Today is myself, Matt Cooper, and I'm joined by Adam Proctor. We're going to have a little bit of a look back over the last week or so, chat a bit about ill discipline, potentially. Then there's the season tickets, which is causing some fuss. And we'll chat about the women's team, and we will end looking at our Same Old Wombles Awards, because if you've got a podcast and it's the last game of the season, you've got to have an awards. So we're going to be doing it too. Why the hell not? Know your passion's very real. I must say we're all impressed the way the fans approach this test. The days have gone when football clubs live and fly just on fans' love. Davis isn't just a game, and tough decisions must be made. All right, so Adam, hi.
Good evening.
And just to say that looking back over the last few games, and, you know, we got to, it was four games out, and we had Salford, Swindon, Tranmere, and Walsall. And, you know, there was a theory that, you know, if you win all four of them, you could have been in the pub. And I think that will probably turn out true. If we'd have won all four of those games, we'd have been on 71 points. We'd have probably been in there. So then, you know, we win the first one, we beat Salford, we go into the second one, and at half time, we're one up, and the table is looking wonderfully rosy, and then that all goes wrong. And then last week we had Tranmere, and from what I understand, and I didn't watch it on I follow, and I wasn't there in person. But from what I understand, it was a really atrocious first half. We went 2 down, and then 2-1, and then O'Toole was sent off. So it's really that moment. And there was another game recently where obviously Ronan Curtis was sent off, and I'm looking at both of those challenges, thinking that I didn't think either was a red card. And I know that I'm a biased Wimbledon fan, but I think certainly in, you know, those sendings off have cost us, you know, at least a couple of points, if not more. What was your take?
Well, I saw the Curtis one, and I haven't seen the Tranmere one, but and so I thought that wasn't a red card. I thought it was a bit late, and I think it was a bit of a rash challenge, wasn't it? After the ball had kind of been kicked away, and, yeah. And so it wasn't a red card. It was definitely a yellow. And yeah, definitely that messed us up that game. When was O'Toole sent off in the other game? It was quite late on though, wasn't it?
I think there was at least half an hour to go, I think, and we sort of like got it back to 2-1, and you know we were on the front foot.
It's tricky, isn't it? Because it probably was. Yeah, again, I haven't seen it, but I suspect it probably wasn't a red because I know what the referees are like. and also, you know, maybe we're just seeing it from the point of view that if we'd carried on winning those games, which we might have done, we were going to get somewhere. And I was disappointed with that.
It feels like it's an if only situation. I mean, and following on from the Tranmere game, one of my big if onlys of this season is if only Josh Kelly had found his shooting boots earlier.
Yeah. No, that's true.
I mean, I have to say.
Yeah. He did take a little while to warm up, and now it's too late. Blimineck. Is he on contract? What's the score with that? What is he on? Is he on loan or contract?
Oh, no, we got him in from Solihull, didn't we? I mean, I think he was brought in as a, you know, a kind of replacement for.
Okay, so he so although so he not, needs to not dip during the summer, basically, and just keep this like crest, hopefully.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a little bit obviously that is disappointing. He's suddenly found his feet and he's doing his things, but yeah. I mean, I am kind of also glad that we don't have to worry about anything on the last game of the season, so we can just go and enjoy ourselves. But I mean, to be brutally honest, you know, I would have enjoyed the playoffs. I wanted the playoffs at the beginning of the whole thing. But I don't think we're ready for League One. And I would have just gone for them. You know, the playoffs would have been nice to get some money. Obviously, if we'd played franchise, I would have gone to none of those games. So that would have been a bit weird. And I don't know what the table looks like now and whether that would have been the reality anyway. But I would have liked the playoffs, but we're not ready for League One. All I'm worried about now is like what happens in the summer, like who do we keep, who goes, all that kind of stuff. And I guess when we get to our sort of end of season podcast, maybe with a few more of our normal podcasting people, we can talk about what that might look like, because I think that's going to be. I don't know. We've always had such massive changes in the summer, and that's why I'm wondering who's on contract, who's this, that. Hopefully, we can have less changes and maybe. Like a Bugle signing, those kind of things, that they see there's a lot of potential in the next season, and maybe they hang on for that potential, and we don't do anything silly by, I think, chasing the money of some sale here or there.
Yeah.
I don't know, but...
I mean, I think my understanding is looking at it, you know, pretty much most of the spine are on longer-term contracts. Josh Kelly's on a longer-term contract. We've obviously tied down... Johnson and Lewis at centre back, they're on a longer term contract. I think Oggs on the right is on a longer term contract, and our midfielder on longer term contracts as well. So it's going to be, you know, we're going to have to add. I mean, I think probably you're looking at, you know, quite a lot of outgoings, which could release up a bit of funding, and then maybe, you know, 6 to 7 coming in. And obviously, it'd be great if we could keep someone like Bass in goal. Whether he would, you know, I think it's difficult for goalies, to be honest with you. I think it's very difficult for goalies to find clubs, and he's not going to get in the Sunderland squad. So, you know, that's one of the things. But it's certainly been a stepping stone. And, you know, yes, losing Alhamadi, you know, was very, very difficult. But I genuinely don't. I don't think we could have kept him. I think it'd been unfair to have kept him.
I think you're right. You know, we definitely.
Yeah.
It would have been. Yeah. If we'd managed to somehow keep him, whatever we said at the time, the agent was doing all the button pushing and whatever. And of course, that's what they do. But maybe I now look back and don't think the agent was as evil as agents actually are. You know, even though I still think they're evil. But going back to the discipline. Thing obviously we did pretty. I mean, one thing that I've always enjoyed about Wimbledon, even back in the crazy gang days, is that our discipline was pretty good actually in general terms, in terms of ranking, and we didn't do anything kind of silly, and we didn't tend to have many players like Pell, you know, doing silly things, which I don't like. You know, I just find that annoying. But obviously we've done pretty bad this in terms of our ranking this season. Do you think
we're 21st out of 24, so our rank is really bad. I mean, and it has been, I mean, and certainly those, but I just feel that there are those sendings off. I do question, although obviously the club, I haven't seen anything that's come out that said they're going to appeal against the O'Toole sending off, so that still stands. But yeah, you know, you're right. I mean, what we always wanted is, that commitment from our players. We want our players to be committed and to sort of like really go for it every week. And I like that. I like to show that sort of commitment, but not to go OTT. And, you know, those sendings off have cost us points.
Fair play and sportsmanship are big things. And I think we generally are pretty good at that stuff, you know. And you know, time wasting, I just don't like any of that stuff. It just drives me mad. You know, You should be better than that.
I'm not a fan of time wasting, but I don't mind someone getting stuck in.
No, I'm not stuck. Getting stuck in is, of course, that is seriously important. But I think, as you know, I think people like Pelwan, that they're not, they're getting over stuck in. I don't know what the term is.
Which is listen, like... Pel is our hero, and
but do you think the discipline record this season, whether it was the referees or whether we were getting too enthusiastic, has done us a disservice in terms of our ability to get points and whatever through the whole season? Or do you just think it's really just screwed us up at the end? Because those last two reds were right near the end, when probably there was a load of extra enthusiasm, like, we need to win these games. And so players are sticking their neck out and probably just making mistakes with the timing and that kind of stuff because they're overly enthusiastic. And maybe the refs then, I don't know whether they get tired towards the end of the season and make bad mistakes, but...
Yeah, I mean, I really do wonder whether everyone just gets a bit, you've been playing for a long period of time and everyone just is like exhausted. And that might include the officials as well. It's just like people aren't spotting things. But I think our ill discipline has cost us. But what's been quite interesting on the reverse side of that is that we've actually, and certainly the start of the season, we were really benefiting from Al Hampton's pace, because people were bringing him down in the box. We got, I need to look at how many penalties we've had, but it's not just our ill discipline on that side, but it's not taking advantage of of some decisions that have gone our way. So we could have beaten Stockport, for instance. We went up there, had a pen, missed it, and I think there's, I should know it off the top of my head, but I think it's something like 7 penalties we've missed this season. So
it was ridiculous, wasn't it? And then to see another one messed up at the end.
So that's been a real, and I think if you look back over the penalties we haven't converted and the red cards, I mean, like, yeah, you'd look at it and you'd go, between those two situations,
we've been done by the ref at
both ends. The league.
The referee did us some favours and screwed us over the other end. Great.
Yeah, yeah.
And we screwed ourselves over.
Yeah, we screwed ourselves over. But I mean, and it's I'm seriously hoping that part of the training that we do over the summer will be around penalties. I'm almost hoping that in the friendlies that we'll have set up, maybe we have some, penalty shootouts at the end of them. Just because we need to,
some friendly penalties.
We need to get that sorted, because, and who wasn't on the pitch? Is it Reeves who was taking pens, and he wasn't there for the Stockport game? Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, he's obviously our penalty taker, but so we've been done by ill discipline in one sense, and not taking advantage of ill discipline when it's worked in our favour. So, we've screwed ourselves over twice.
Never mind.
I'm now really sort of like, I'm really upset, because I just think I could have been it.
Oh my word! Yeah, well, that is. Oh, that's what seasons are about, the what ifs, aren't they? So,
yeah, that is it. Seasons are about the what ifs. So I think that's the, in a weird way, that's the thing that VAR has taken away, because although it's horrendous, I think, in international football wise, as an England fan,
I hate it.
So, VAR wasn't around in 1966, and goal line technology wasn't around in 1966. But that is always going to be a conversation piece, isn't it?
Hang on, Mike. No, wait a second. Goal line technology is fine, because that is yes binary thing. The VAR, VAR is not fine, because it adds in an...
Okay. So, there's all these conflicts, Maradona's goal against us in 86, the England. So that's always going to be a talking point. The hand of God is always going to be a talking point.
I'd still rather not have VAR.
No, but in a way, that's the thing. That's what football's about. It's that, some people make a bad decision.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes.
And it becomes part of that part of
the folklore, the story, the stuff, and it's a story. Yeah. It's a story. It shouldn't be clinical.
Exactly. But, I mean, like when Lampard, you know, that like you say, the Lampard's ghost goal against Germany as well. I remember, you know, which so and there's a whole load of things, and so it needs to be. I mean, and I talk about this because one thing that's on my mind is I watched the semi final, Coventry Man United. And, you know, Coventry about back to 3-0. And in the last minute of extra time, they've scored what looks like a legitimate goal to win it 4-3. And that was, and I felt, I was just like, oh, I actually felt elated. I thought, that is amazing. And then to be ruled off by literally a millimetre, I just felt was...
It was tiny. It was so silly. It was so tiny. I mean, I haven't even dared watch it back because... I saw the clip and was like, that looks like it's nothing, you know. Although the funny thing was, of course, they said that some Manchester United fans left.
It's like... Yeah, I know. But I just thought that was, I mean, there are bits of it which are just so wrong. I mean, I think offside itself, there needs to be, if you can have VAR involved in it, there needs to be a clear... I think there needs to be space. There needs to be clear air between the defender and the
For those podcast listeners who are listening, both me and Matthew are basically moving our arms. Yeah, waving our space, space. But you know, it should. I think they should change the. If VAR is going to be involved in that sense, they should change the rule, and it should be way more than just like whatever the heck it is now, which is like millimeters from that game. It should be like a leg or an arm, like a half an arm or what, a forearm or something.
I genuinely think that any part of the body can be in line with another player, and so there has to be sort of air. There has to be a clear air between. Do you know what I mean? And I'm not talking.
Because like a millimeter is not taking. That's not like how much advantage have you actually got? You've still got to control the ball. You've still got to do the skill. It's like
I know. It's so stupid. So anyhow, we could bang on about that.
Yeah, we're divergent.
But now, you know, here we are. So it's been an improving season. We ran out of steam. Obviously we lost great players, but and hopefully against Walsall we can win. And the only issue I've got is that what worries me is Walsall have an outside chance. I mean, admittedly, a huge outside chance. They've got to hope that sides above them lose and there's a goal swing. So what worries me is that they come and they hammer us like 4-0 or whatever it is, because they're just like they know what they've got to do, which is score as many goals as possible. And I'd hate that to happen. And I really hope that we go out in this sense going, we want to finish as high on the table as we can and really go for it. That's my hope, because I think Walsall are going to be more motivated, and there's going to be loads of them down, I think, at the round.
Yeah, they're definitely going to be more motivated. But the thing is, it's the last game of the season, and we're playing at home. You would expect JJ and everyone just to say, look, you know, go out there and you've got to win. It's the last home game of the season. It's kind of... again, also wrapping probably on to the next thing is like, you know, that encourages people to buy their season ticket, renew their season tickets, all that kind of stuff. You know, if you have an exciting end home game of the season, you're going to be like, yeah, and I want to come back next season. I want to be there, you know. Mm. So, yeah, I mean.
No, yeah, but you're right. So that's the next thing is the season ticket.
See how
tickets,
I segued us right into that?
That's been brilliant, mate. You've done a brilliant segue there. So, I mean... It's an odd one, isn't it? Because I try to work out what situation would be that I wouldn't renew my season ticket. I'm trying to, obviously I'll be there. Obviously I'll be there next season. And there's lots of people who always go, "Oh, I won't get a season ticket," and you go, "Please don't get a season ticket," and they do. But
true.
Season tickets were up. Up last season, when you know, up this season just gone, and we've done well. So hopefully, people will be renewing and coming along as well. We've made friends over the last season, so hopefully, we'll have even more season tickets. But it is an issue, and the issue is, and I was all for this. I was all for including DTB membership in this season ticket.
Yeah, we talked about this like two podcasts ago.
Yeah, we've talked about this a while ago. Yeah, and I'm like, that is totally and utterly cool. But I think we all agreed amongst ourselves that there should be an opt out. And if you opt out, what it does is it takes off what the DTB.
Yeah, because I remember when I was last on the podcast 2 ago, I said about that, and you're like, no, because it will be include. You know. It will be extra. And I was like, oh, yeah, of course. Because I was thinking I'd get it cheaper, right? Some, you know. But of course, okay. So there's a couple of things just to write. So at various points, I haven't had a season ticket because I didn't need one, because you could come to every game without needing a season ticket. So I couldn't always make every game because either I lived in Wales or I lived in Luton or I lived in Southampton. Yeah. The first thing is, obviously, I think some people, rightly so, are a little bit upset with the comms about the fact that it sort of puts the season ticket holders as the most loyal fans, which is incorrect. You know, that's bad choice of language. Season ticket holders, obviously, are at that point that they buy a season ticket, they are very invested in the club. That's different to being the most loyal fans. They're the most invested at that point, and that might be just because, oh, they're in the Premier League. I want to buy a season ticket. I want to be there. That's fine. Like, that's cool, right? So there was obviously a few people have picked up on that language because they aren't season ticket holders because they live too far away or they, you know, but they are some of the most loyal fans, but no longer would make every game or it doesn't become financially viable, etc. So that was a little bit. I guess I kind of glossed over a bit of that. But the fact that the member.
Yeah, it's, I mean.
Go on.
So obviously you can still get a DTB membership and not get a season ticket.
Yeah,
so you can still do it that way around. And I think, and a lot of people will choose to do that. I mean, it does get confusing now because I think people are worried about whether they have to cancel their DTB.
Yeah, I mean, I messed up at some point because I was in standing order and then direct debit and whatever. And so for a couple of years, I was paying double membership and I didn't even know.
And then
I was like, what's this? And then one bit was like, what's this direct debit? And they're like, oh no, that's the top up player fund. I'm like, I don't even remember agreeing to that. So I was also a little bit worried about that. I was like, do I need to cancel my other direct debit because it's in my season ticket now? And you know, I don't know, because I mean,
so
I haven't gone to renew, so I don't know when you renew whether you type in your Don's Trust number, so it, I don't know.
We'll explore that, listener, and get to you with some more information on it. But I think for us, the whole thing was it made sense to have it in there, but then there was an opt out button, and if you opted out, it would reduce your season ticket by £30 or whatever it is.
That's what I thought.
And I felt to myself that felt like a good offer. So when information started coming out last week, which felt really muddled to me, and then and now clarifying it this week, which even feels still muddy, it's that you can opt out of being a DTB member. You can opt out of that, but it doesn't reduce your season ticket at all. It's just you just opt out.
It doesn't make any sense because the first stuff I understood and heard was that we want as many people to be members as possible, and what I'd said previously was like, that's cool, so long as they understand what being a member means and how they have to vote and whether they need to vote and, you know, how do we, that's fine, you know, and I was worried that there'd be some education piece to do, which they talked a little bit about, but they also said this would raise more funds into the DTB, into the Don's Trust, which would then go into the women's team and all these other things. So I'm like, okay, well, if people act don't see the opt-out button and they don't vote, or, you know, and there's not a vote that requires everyone to, you know, to get involved, then I'm like, great, we've got some money, we've got some extra members, they didn't get educated, but we made some money. Now it's like, I'm not paying for my Don's Trust membership. I'm going to buy a season ticket.
Oh, but
anyway.
You are.
Well, how?
You are because season ticket prices are going up.
No, but only by £2, £2 a game. Only for us.
I know, but
our stand, not for all the other bits. Our stand goes up.
I know, but I know, but for an hour stand and behind the goal. So it's
yeah, but
only
that was
the.
Happen anyway. This is what I'm saying. That was going to happen anyway.
But because it goes up by a couple of quid, then you know there's not that many of there's.
Yeah, but I would have bought that.
You know, out of all those people, but out of all those people, you wouldn't have that many you wouldn't have that many DTB members. So now they're increasing the DTB membership by huge amounts.
No, but they would have renewed their season ticket anyway.
Because the season ticket holders are bringing in that extra money, it will bring in additional resources to the.
No, but I don't agree with that because they would have bought the season tickets anyway. All those people,
yeah.
They would have gone up by £2 a game. I would have bought my season ticket. Yeah. Everyone I know, well, you would have bought your season ticket. They would have all bought it, but they wouldn't have all I would have all of us. Would have also paid extra for the Don's Trust membership. Sure, there'd be less Don's Trust members, but we still would have made the same amount of money because all those people still would have renewed their season ticket.
See, but that's the thing, because I think my feeling is that they might not have risen it by so much. They might have only risen it by a pound or whatever it is, or not at all. But to increase it by a couple of quid. That does bring in a huge. We're talking about £2 per game.
Yeah, that's great.
So you know, over the course of a season, that's you know almost £50.
But then
almost £50. So season tickets are going up by £50, which is probably. I mean, I guess if you did worked out the inflation figures or whatever it is, that's probably above inflation.
But our season tickets have been cheaper than a lot for a long time. That you know.
Yeah, but I mean, I think there might have been an argument. I think this feels.
Then they should have just said that. They should have just said we're increasing the price because we're bundling in the membership. If you opt out, you don't get. I mean, I don't know why you don't get a reduction.
Yeah, no. I agree, but that's. But it, so it feels to me a bit. It feels to me a bit cheap. It feels to me like spin. Is what it feels like to me. So the spin is, hey, look. Season tickets are going up. They're only going up by a couple of quid. But good news, you get to be a member of the Duns Trust board of the DT.
Yeah, but which means you've got to do more. Which means you've got to understand if you vote and whatever.
You get to be a member of the Duns Trust, and you get all these other benefits that go with it as well. Because I think there are all sorts of offers and whatever.
Really? What are they?
I don't know. It's like certain percentage off in the, you know, during the week.
We get the money off for being season ticket holders anyway. There's no extra benefits
which is
important.
There are other offers that go in there. But that's the whole thing. So it is spin. So, you know, rather than paying an extra, what is it to be a member?
It was 30 quid or whatever now. It's gone up, hasn't it?
Yeah, 30 quid. So it's 30 quid and there was, I don't know, how many out of the, say, what are there? 4,000 season ticket holders. There's probably about 2,000 at most, I'm guessing.
Yeah, yeah.
Don's Trust members who are season ticket holders. So now suddenly you've got 4,000 season. Now suddenly you've got not just 4,000 season ticket holders, but you've got 4,000 Don's Trust members. And that is bringing in a lot more money because rather than paying 30 quid, and maybe they just take that 30 quid and give it to the Don's Trust. You know, you're paying 50 quid more.
Yeah, but
because that's what we're paying more, and I can understand it. So if the season tickets went up by a pound per game, you'd be going, okay, cool, and you'd just take it. But they're going up £2. They're going to be bringing in a lot more money, and so they can do this thing. Now the other thing,
yeah, but they haven't explained.
I know it hasn't been. It hasn't been. All you need to do is put together a really simple chart that goes, this is what is going on. But the other thing about it, I think, is,
they should have just made it an extra. They should have made it 30 quid extra on top. And if you don't want to be in it, you get 30 quid off. Whether they're going to raise the prices or not, I don't know. Yeah. I feel that yours is a slight conspiracy theory towards the pricing structure, but I mean, because I would have paid anyway.
You would have done. I might have done, but other people, you know, because I know Liverpool are thinking of raising their season ticket prices. It's caused a huge thing, and I think if we'd have raised our season tickets without offering anything else, that could have been.
But I don't think
I think 50 quid in a cost of living crisis. increasing tickets by 50 quid is,
No,
I think it is.
I get that. I get that. But I guess what I would then say is, if that's the reasoning, if that's why it's gone up, because you now get this Don's Trust membership part of it, you become an owner of the club, which is an excellent thing, right? I think that's an excellent thing,
Yeah.
right? What does some, 19-year-old guy, girl who's going to the games actually get for that that extra membership? What do they actually get other than being an owner, which has benefits by the fact that you can then vote on these things and you can do stuff? I don't think they see those. I don't think that's, if that's the case, that should have also been really spelled out. Like, this season, fantastic offer. We have, by increasing our prices, you are now bundled in as a Don's Trust member. This means you become an owner of the club, and this means X, Y, and Z. Not, this means you have to go to some boring, you have to go to some boring SGMs, AGMs. You might have to actually vote if there's a thing where we need a percentage of people to vote, and if we don't get that percentage, then it won't carry.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think I need to go back and have a look at it, but I think there are other benefits about being
Do you, maybe a free top?
the season ticket. I think there are other benefits that go with being a season ticket holder, other benefits that, I mean, financial benefits that,
Sure.
things like that. But
But it's not been
it's not,
spelled
I
out
mean, it's
clear,
not
is it?
great.
It's
But
like,
also, my understanding is that, there was, this was talked about. So it was talked about the fact that they would do the opt-out thing and you would get 30 quid back. That's the way it worked. But the ticket platform that we have at the club does not allow this to happen, which seems really odd to me, because you could easily have a two ticket thing. Because I can buy a season ticket for whatever stand and it's different prices. So surely I could have an option which is season ticket with Don's Trust membership involved, season ticket without Don's Trust membership involved. But apparently there was something wrong with that platform, and also then I think an issue is about where decisions are made. Because if I ever got to a situation that the ticket platform can't do what I want it to do, I wouldn't have been doing this year. I'd have been making sure that I'd have a platform in place that would allow me to do what I wanted it to do. If I can't do that now, I hold off on doing this change because it's going to cause a problem. So that's my thought on it. It just feels, and I think that probably some of the DTB might have felt the same way. So this leads to my next thing, which is actual fact, who is making the decision about ticket prices and what is and isn't included? And I have a feeling that once it's presented to the PLC, that probably from the last survey results, that people are happy for the Don's Trust membership to be included in season tickets, they've gone, great, we'll go with that, rather than looking at the other bit of information which they people wanted, an opt-out thing. So my sense is that, in actual fact, this was a PLC decision and not a Don's Trust board decision. So we have a problem. I think we have a problem with who is really running our club, because I agree that the Don's Trust board is all about oversight. That's what it's about. It's about oversight, making sure that things are running along. But there are some key decisions that the Don's Trust board must ratify on behalf of its members, i.e., the fans, and now all the season ticket holders as well. And that isn't happening. So I don't think we've got enough power or veto over some of these decisions, because I genuinely feel that right now the Don's Trust board should have been saying to the PLC, stop this, because it's not clear, it hasn't made sense, it's not been articulated particularly well. Let's leave it for now and maybe implement it next season. But they've gone ahead and done it, which I think, even though it's great that we've got so many more Don's Trust members, that hopefully more people voting in the elections and more people taking part in what it means to be a fan club, it has caused friction. And there are a lot of people out there who don't want to sit with, who want to sit outside of the, or for whatever reason, they want to sit outside of the structure. But to impose it upon them and not give people an option to have a refund, I think is wrong.
No, I think it's bad. I think there's a couple of, the ticket system, whatever the platform is that we got, was problematic from the get-go. They made some changes, they've done some things. I don't think that the resale option is good enough. It's nice to see the club officially talking about the fact, if it's not sold out and we don't get the resale option, make sure we give it to friends and blah blah blah, and we do all that stuff anyway. So the ticketing platform has not been great from day one, and it wasn't great for all the clubs that took that same platform, Southampton being one of those as well, actually. My worry or my concern with all this is that the PLC have made a decision based on funds, and they want to get the extra money in, and they've bundled this thing in, and they and the Dons Trust saw the survey, which, as you know, we responded saying, yeah, be great. You should include the ability to have a Dons Trust membership as being a season ticket holder. Whether that was extra or not, whatever, was different things. But certainly, I think we talked about it at various other times that we felt it probably should be bundled in with a season ticket. And there should be some incentives to get more members to be in the Dons Trust, of course. But the fact that it's unclear, like, what, that we're not getting, people don't get, let they don't reduce their season ticket, that they don't know what's bundled, that I'm not sure what the benefits beyond being a fan owned, being an owner is. And the fact you can't just, it's not easy to opt out, or is, we sh the Dons Trust board should have said, this is going to cheese fans off, but guess who it's really going to cheese off? It's going to really cheese off the Dons Trust members. And that's who's actually really annoyed about all of this, is they don't understand what's going on. And we are the owners, and they're supposed to speak for us. And they should have told the PLC, if it isn't going to work in a way that's easily understandable, transparent, you are going to basically annoy, stroke, antagonize the owners of the club, who are effectively your bosses, whatever you want, whether, much as flat hierarchy, whatever you want to say. We own the club. And the PLC, as far as I'm concerned, at this point, however many Dons Trust members are on there, are not doing the job that we need them to do. And the Dons Trust board and the Dons Trust might be the overseer and seeing the strategy and the bigger picture, right? But at the end of the day, at this point, we are the owners. We are the most loyal fans. And to annoy us and cheese us off by making poor decisions, whether that's just purely based on finance, which concerns me that it might be, is a really, really bad idea. Now, we're super loyal. Thankfully, we've got Plough Lane. We are in charge, 75%, etc., all that kind of stuff. So, the PLC people are, they're paid jobs. They want to stay in those jobs. They shouldn't be cheesing off their owners, because we are the owners.
I know, but I mean, my sense is that I'm not entirely sure if we need a PLC, could it not be wrapped up into the Dons Trust? So,
Yeah, exactly.
There's a lot of stuff here. I mean, I think part of the reason is that, there are people with a lot of money who are literally buying a seat to have a lot of power. So, and they are making key
Well, they're
decisions.
making, but the thing is, they're
And
making key decisions when they aren't allowed to make key decisions, because
yeah,
they
so
aren't the owners. They don't have the
yeah.
majority
So I
shareholder.
think that I think
We are the
this
majority
I think
shareholder.
yeah, I think the decision I think the decisions about how this has been handled need to be made more clear about why the DTB felt that it was able to leave off. So yeah.
Yeah.
this bit.
Yeah, I'm going to edit it. I'm going to edit this bit out. Matthew's running for the door.
Bagel in the toaster. Anyhow, Adam, we can debate that thing for ages. Let's move on.
We could, but I think what's really important about this, and we definitely should move on, is that we are not some sort of official podcast. We totally take to task the Don's Trust board, and at this point we're really taking to task the PLC, and I am disappointed by what's happened. I'm disappointed by those representing me as an owner. I am disappointed by the choices the PLC are making at this point. And it feels, it's a small thing, but you know, the point of us being owners is that we can.
Well, it's small things like this that anger people. So communication needs to be better, and we need to understand about who has responsibility for what, because it feels like the role of the DTB is diminishing all the time. And what they're doing is diminishing all the time. So I think that's what worries me, I think, is that in actual fact, people are going to get turned off about, and they're worried. Oh, it was scary enough last time, the number of people standing to be on the DTB. So I think my worry is that decreases, and that in actual fact, less people want to vote because they don't say, well, they go, well, I'm joining, I can be on the Don's Trust board, but what difference am I going to make? Because in actual fact, all the key decisions are made by the PLC.
Yeah, yeah. And this is definitely the last thing. I think the funny thing about all of this is obviously when it comes to those motions that require a vast majority, such as going below 75%, which I am totally against, these people are going to be so disengaged. They're never going to get that number of people to vote. So it's like, job done. PLC is done. You know, anyway, like,
there are some tricky things. And I think it's going to be interesting in the next elections, which are going to be later in this year, November, I think, October, November. Anyhow, let us move on and talk about two things I want to end on. Firstly, the women's team. I think yet again, we just need they got over the line. They got over the line. 1-1 away at Worthing was the point that needed. They are the champions.
Champions.
We are going up. We've got a championship winning team at AFC Wimbledon. No. Which is brilliant. And they've been. I know that they're going to be. They're going to be at the final game. So when it comes to the presentations, they're hopefully going to be on the pitch and hopefully hanging around in the bar. I mean, it's going to be. I think Saturday in itself is an exciting day because there's going to be the different presentations. The women's team will be there. There'll be other things going on the pitch. We've got the minutes applause for Joe Kinnear.
Yeah.
And there's a big feature in the program as well, which would be fantastic. I mean, you know, Joe Kinnear, I mean, I think certainly as I was growing up with the club, was, you know, an amazing manager, an amazing character, although he did have some interesting opinions when it came to Dublin particularly.
But of course. The funny thing with that is, like, I always thought that, you know, Joe Kinnear's yellow and blue army, I was like, that's a great chant, right? And of course, when he left, I was like, damn, I really like that chant, not expecting it to be usable with anyone else. Of course, it's been usable with everyone else.
Yeah. So we can't use such yellow and blue army anymore. It's only for Joe Kinnear.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's what I thought. I thought, wow, that rhymed pretty well. No one else, but of course, yeah, we'll make it work for anyone.
But you know, so it's great that we get to remember him. I think he's
that is great.
I think he's fantastic. So that's brilliant. And there's always going to be all the presentations.
But so there's all these presentations at the end, something exciting, interesting, awards, all that kind of stuff. Surely there must be an even better set of awards coming. For the final game of the season.
You know, the thing with awards, and there is issues. I mean, I was looking at the Don's blog. Bless the guy. You know, he goes, does his little bods, you know, which he produces on the same day. Great stuff. And he's done his own little awards as well. And it's all It's and it's all around the men's team. Why not? I say that's brilliant. Do you know? I think that's as it should be. And I think, you know, it's standard to have your best player, best young player, improving, yada yada yada, best goal and all that sort of stuff. I think those are fantastic awards to have. But I feel, you know, we're the same old Wombles. So obviously we're not going down that particular route. And there are two, there are other ways you can do things. So the club do this thing where you can, for the awards, there are seven awards you could vote for. I'll remember this off my head. You've got the player of the year, young player of the year, for the men's team, player of the year, young player of the year for the women's team. Then you've got the club player of the year, which is, and this was a weird one because that was the only one where there were four people that were mentioned there. And then you've got the men's goal of the season and the women's goal of the season. There you are. I got them all seven. So that's great. I mean, like I said to Niall last week, anyone who listened to the pod last week, I thought the issue that I had was that there wasn't a paragraph about, certainly when it came to the young players of the year, about what they'd achieved, you know. And I think unfortunately there's a few people who haven't been from the women's team, so there should have been a little bit of paragraph about that, and maybe even a video. Do you know what I mean? To accompany, I think would have been
Yeah, no,
really
I mean,
useful. Even people have a more informed decision,
yeah,
I
the
think.
video would have been cool, yeah.
But anyhow, so those were the you know, the standard awards, and obviously the way that they've done, people voted on them, so they're public votes. So you know what, the award winners will be the ones with the most votes from the fans, which is
Yes.
great. That's what we at the same old Wombles have our own unique awards, and there's no public vote here.
No
It was
democracy.
literally the five of us that have contributed to the podcast over the season voting on our favorite things. But these are very prestigious, and there are very prestigious mugs that we've made ourselves that we will be presenting somehow
Somehow.
on Saturday. We can get the mugs into the ground. I think it's going to be the most tricky thing. Anyhow,
As long as
so
there's
I
no
just want
liquid in them, you'll be all right, won't you?
to say these are our categories, and I'm gonna and I will give the nominations. And next week, you'll have to listen, listener. Next week, we'll tell you who's won. So
And we're going
our
to try and
categories
get we're going to
are,
try and get some sort of recording of the, if we can give it to the people that have won, we're going to try and include that in next week's pod.
that's right. And we'll take some photos that we'll share as well. So you know, well, it's going to be exciting times for you, listener. You'll get all this great content. And I'm just going to give the four that were nominated for this category.
Yes.
But our first category, best food outlet. I can't believe this wasn't a bigger th this wasn't included anywhere else. So we got down to there's loads of great ones there. I think that the Chinese wrap for me, I've loved that. Didn't get nominated. The German food, I know people have been enjoying samosas, but
The nominees are
the four nominees are the Dough Shack, the Pizza Place, Mai Pie, Triple Chips, and La Posta, the Argentinian steak place. So those are the four
so
nominations
any of
that
those
we have.
outlets that are listening to this podcast, you're in the running.
You're
Excite
in
be
the
excited.
you, yeah, exactly. Tell your friends, get very excited about that. So those are the four nominees. Then we have another, the next category we've got here. Again, I can't believe that this isn't a nomination. This should be a nomination. Club Hero. So these are our club heroes, and I'm going to go through this. Mandy in the ticket office, who's been immense. Noah, the ball boy. I mean, you know, he's come from nowhere, and is like, you know, top of, coming into
And
that
he's used
nomination.
for returning the ball to the game.
And exactly, I
Like,
mean, ball boys don't get overlooked. I mean, like, you know, so
huge.
he's actually, yeah, it's a fantastic thing. So. And then we've got Philo, for his wonderful music selection against the franchise. Wonderful, Philo, you're in with a shout. Lee Willits, we love Lee Willits, and for putting up and taking down all the amazing flags that are around, that are around the ground. That's fantastic. And last in our nominees is Craig Pope for his wonderful transfer season. So those are our nominees for Club Hero.
So you see, the hero isn't a player. Whoa, it's a bit scary.
I know. Yeah, I know. It's crazy, isn't it? And then we go for our best. This is another thing. I can't believe this isn't normal category. Our best on-field. It's a complicated one. Our best on-field non-goal moment. And it can't be a celebration as well that's associated with a goal. So it's our best on-field non-goal moment.
Yeah, none of that weirdness where you're like rubbing your shoulders or whatever.
Yeah,
that's not
allowed. So, I mean, people might have thought that we put this one in deliberately to give it to someone. That's not true. So the nominees are...
It's definitely not true because we had to vote. We've definitely won.
Josh Kelly, for being so close so many times. He's been hit the bar, ran the key, anyhow. And then obviously last week he scored his couple of goals, but we can't give it for that. But Josh Kelly's in there. Al Hamadi, and I can't remember the exact match, but I believe he carried a player off the pitch. He was trying to lower the pitch. He literally carried someone off the pitch.
He did. It was quite amazing.
That was a great moment. And then our last nominee is Harry Pell. We're giving it. It could be Harry Pell for, you know, his pre-match shooting. He needs to get his shooting boots fixed.
He was warming up.
He was warming up and he was practicing and he just couldn't hit the target for love nor money.
Listeners may guess who I didn't vote for.
It was a shame that who was in the away stand at the end whilst he was practicing his shooting.
He's just it's unfortunately he's not very good at shooting. Never mind.
Yeah, I know exactly. So he had to practice, for goodness sake.
Exactly.
So and then we've got our best sub cameo. So it was quite funny. We were talking about what the norm should be for this, and of course it should Ryan McLean. His winner against Coventry in the League Cup. So that was an amazing moment. And then we looked back at who else made sub appearances. Ronan Curtis, he came on and scored the winner in like the last minute again against Mansfield. And then he also scored another last minute winner, even more of a last minute winner against another side.
Yeah.
Which might also be. So those are our... Those are our categories: best sub cameo, best on-field non-goal moment, club hero of the season, and best food outlet. And we will tell you who those winners are in our end of season roundup podcast next week, which I know you're all already excited to look. That's it from us. Thank you, Adam, who's now rushing off to a concert. My name's Matt Cooper, and we are the same old Wombles. Submarines in the harbour, incognito. Submarines of your dreams, not mine. The red, red sky must take the prize. Forgiving to the people who never, never go to war. Fences.